If you want to live in peace, if you want to see God work, really learn how to walk this out with His grace. All right, are there any questions about this? So your question is, if you have a husband who's a believer, but he has control issues or anger issues, okay, right, all right. If you have a spouse and you really believe that they're born again, like they, if they died, they'd go to heaven. Not everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Okay? The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. So, and you can't let the devil try to convince you that somebody's an unbeliever to get you to become an adulteress if they really are a believer. Do you see what I'm saying? This is where people can start seeing anything they want into something. And I'm not saying, what I am saying, you need to spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, if this person is really not yours, based on this fruit, then show me what I should do. Not everybody who says they're a believer, if they're a fornicator, forget it. If they're a drunkard, and the Bible certainly doesn't say that a husband, he's supposed to love his wife as himself. He shouldn't be beating her. And you're not going to get into heaven abusing your wife and your kids and then die and go to heaven. You need to deal with that sin. Here's the problem right now. The church is so watered down, she's not doing what the Bible says. So if there was a situation here, we've had this situation here, where there was a husband who, because of his past hurts and pains and issues, was beating his wife or hurting his wife. We had this happen before. Then we bring them together and we are like, we look at the provoking spirit in this particular case that was on the wife. We get the whole picture. We deal with her spiritual junk because there's some there. We deal with his spiritual junk because there's some there. And then if one of them refuses to be changed or to get help or to deal with their issue, we do what they did in the Bible and we put them out and we just pray for them while we minister to the other one. And then we see if God convicts them and brings them back ready to be changed. See, there's not going to be rules for this kind of thing. This is supposed to be seeking the Lord for wisdom. How do we help here? You can't ever take sides. There's no good and bad side. You don't take sides. God, here's a man who's been born again of the Spirit of God. Here's a woman who's been born again of the Spirit of God. They've even have children, Lord. How can we bring healness and wholeness and help them to become holy and have this relationship? So, yeah, God sees you in this person as one. That's not going to change unless there is a fornication, if this person is really born again of the Spirit of God. What we would have someone do is learn how to do spiritual warfare. We'd have someone learn to get so strong in God that if that person even raised their voice, you'll recognize, that's just the devil, that's not my husband. Devil, you have no authority over him. You loose him now in the name of Jesus. See, people sometimes run away from the bondage that they've allowed themselves to be in. Now, I'll tell you what, if you don't put up with it and you pray and you do what the Lord shows and this person punches you good enough to give you a nice, then you go to the police and you get them arrested. And you see if that doesn't help them to get help. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to go get beat up. Sometimes, though, people also want out so much that where they're really not afraid, they really just don't want to be in the situation. You have to really decide, how do we do this? Because is this that you really want to be out of the situation, or are you physically in danger? If you're physically in danger, there should be some police reports. There should be some situations where that's happened. What I would say to him, if you hit me even one time, I am calling the police. And just that kind of confrontation might help him get help. I don't say care. If they're cussing and screaming at you, you're going to learn to separate that from the devil. Say, you know, have your little pity party by yourself. I'm going to go spend time with God. So a lot of it is getting strong in who you are in Christ, not to be controlled. So we have to get healed and get above our own stuff so that we can really love. So if two people were believers and there's no fornication, I would never be one to suggest divorce. I just read over and over, God says, do not separate these two. No, the difference is if they're believers, he lives inside of them, and if even one of them would begin to mature in who they are in Christ, there's going to be grace to bring healing to the other one. See, the problem is the church is a weak. She hasn't overall been preaching this kind of message. She hasn't taught people how to do warfare. Like we said, Karen was in a situation where there was abuse. And she learned to rise up and bind it in the name of Jesus. Made this devil so mad. But the husband could not touch her again. She began to pray for him, to believe for him. And he was into some affair kind of things. And so he chose to leave, and he married another woman. And God's had to bring healing. All this stuff is very painful to Karen. But Karen fought for that man's soul and for that marriage in the presence of God. But she had to actually come alongside people who were strong in God and quit being the beat down one. Quit doing that. And it may look really rebellious for a while. It may look really rebellious when you go home and say, you know what? I'm living here because this is where God says I'm to live, but I'm not being controlled by your devils anymore. And if you don't like that, call me what you want. Because I got to work on me. So I'm going to go and get help here, and I'm going to get help here, and these are the things I'm going to do. I'm not leaving you because I'm not going to be unbiblical, but I've got to work on me. Because I've been beat down my whole life and told I'm no good my whole life, and this is not a godly marriage, and I'm not pretending that it is. One thing we have to begin to do is expose darkness. And the church has got to quit throwing stones and judging, because there's darkness everywhere. And until we become light, we're just a bunch of fake people sitting in church on Sundays and Wednesdays. The key is God can get you so strong, you will kick those devils behinds that would dare use this husband that you chose of your own free will to marry at some point in your life that you felt drawn to. God will teach you how to take authority, because you're one. You have authority to kick those demons out of him, because you are a believer and he's a believer and you're one in the eyes of God. And it could take years, but that's okay, because God will be giving you grace. God will be meeting your needs. God will be showing you how to do it. God will make you where you don't need him to change, and then God will change him. And I tell you, it's true. And if there is, and if you really are in a situation of physical abuse, and it's for real, then you can separate yourself and learn to grow strong, learn to get big, you know. Don't do any divorce proceedings. Just let him know. I'm going to learn to fight the devils of control that's destroying our marriage. I'm going to let God heal all the hurt places in me. I don't know how long the process is going to take, but I'm going to ask God to cause me to love you the way he does. And forgive me for leaving because of all the hurt and confusion that I've been living in. It's called getting with God and finding out who you are in Christ. I wouldn't let any devil cause me to be an adulteress. There ain't a devil big enough to get in my husband to cause me to be an adulteress. Because Christ in me is bigger than any devil that could ever get in anybody. I had a man try to mug me, and I bound up the devil on him and cast out that cocaine thing right in the parking lot. And he was there to get me. He even told me he was. But I didn't do it on my own. Holy Spirit rose up in me and took authority. I said, don't you, blah, blah, blah. I said, woo, that stuff works. I mean, the Holy Ghost in you works. He's real. The Holy Holy Ghost in you, you get in tune with who you are in Christ for real, and you die to all your own mess, and you let God, and that husband, that devil in him, go, but you'd be laughing like Karen did. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority to lift your hand. You loose my husband right now. You loose him right now. He was hurt as a kid. He judged his dad. He can't help what he's doing, devil, because you've been lying to him your whole life, and I ain't taking anymore. That man will be shocked and say, honey, I love you, but I'm not putting up with that devil in you anymore. Come on, kids. I am not leaving this house. You think I'm going to leave my house for devils and my husband to raise? No, the devils and him are coming out, because I do know there is a witness that the Holy Spirit really did get into that man's heart. Know this, God knows if he's a believer or not. So don't convince yourself they're not if they are, because God says what he's put together, don't pull apart. Personally, with the fear of the Lord, I would rather live single the rest of my life and still married and believing for a relationship than to ever, ever break something as powerful as God's word saying, what he's put together, don't separate. But I also do know, just as the Lord knew when he said that, that as a believer, he's given you authority to not only stop the enemy from destroying your marriage, but watching God turn it around for the sake of you and your children. So you've never been taught how to do that. So your whole frame of reference is all the hurts that you've taken, all the things you've seen through your past, through your pain, through all things. So you're a very wounded person that God has brought here. Let me say, if God brought you here, it wasn't to tell you to get a divorce. If God brought you here, he brought you here because we're going to teach you to kick the devil out and hang on to the man that's made in the image of God. And watch God turn around. Yeah, maybe it'll be 2 years that'll be bumpy. Who knows how long it'll take? May not take that long. You don't know. But I'd invest 2 years or whatever in watching God fix something for the sake of my kids and for my own walk. What do you got to lose? Your pride. Oh, man. God likes us to lose that thing. It's very humbling. Let me tell you. I was kicked out of a church. I know you can't believe this, but I was kicked out of this church one time. And because I told them that I believed in baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said, and speaking in tongues. So they said that I said that because they weren't speaking in tongues, I was more spiritual than them. And I didn't say that, but that's what they said. That's what they said my belief meant. So they said, well, you cannot fellowship here unless you renounce that doctrine. So I said, well, I can't renounce it. It's the word of God. And I was very prideful. So they kicked me out. Well, of course I thought my husband would bring our children. We had two at the time, Lauren and Mitchell, and come with me. He didn't. It hurt. But I didn't hold it against him in bitterness. I just said, God, what's happening? And I remember I went from that church to the biggest, most charismatic church in the area. And I walked in and I sat down and I felt so alone because my husband and my kids, for the first time in our married life, we were not in church together on a Sunday morning. And worse than that, he took the kids with him. So don't anybody go buying them my husband's an Ahab. That's just a bunch of baloney. The devil wants people to believe my husband is not Ahab. Anybody married to me and putting up with all this and learning all this and flowing with all this and hanging on to God is not an Ahab. And my husband, he just said, no, the children used to go into this church. This is where we're going. I felt so betrayed. I felt so hurt. I mean, I didn't start this thing, you know. How could you do this to me? And I remember I sat there with my pity party self in this big old church, not knowing anybody. And I said, God, please. God, Lord, he's doing what you're putting on his heart. I'm not going to judge him. Lord, just help. And I said, God, just please help me. And I opened the scripture right to, it's so cool. And it said, you are the first of your house to worship me in this place. And I looked at her and I said, Lord, if you ever get my husband to this church, that will be an unbelievable miracle. I've never even asked for you to get him to this kind of a church. Within 1 year, my husband and kids were in that church with me. But let me tell you, it wasn't the way I thought. God humbled me. I didn't go back to the other church. I kept going to this church. I got stronger. I got more mature. I kept praying and believing God. So finally, I think there was some kind of conference coming into town, and I got tickets from my husband and I. And it wasn't an extremely charismatic conference or anything. It was like, what is this? What do they call Bill Gothers or something? Yeah, Gaither things or whatever. So he went with me, which was a miracle. And we're sitting there. I'll never forget, because I'm thinking, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, tell him, Lord, to come to church with me. Holy Spirit, tell him it's wrong for him to be taking those kids to another church, because this has been going on for like 3 months by then. And I'm sitting there watching. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit didn't speak to me like he does now. I mean, I hear the Lord so clear now most of the time since Lauren died. It just changed me. But back then, I was just, you know, trying to do the best I could, and I love God, and I heard him now and then and stuff. And I'd open the Word. And so the Lord said to me, though, this day he decides to talk to me. He said, I want you to go back to church with him Sunday. I said, oh, no, God. I said, God, no. Tell him to come to church with me, because I got kicked out of there for standing up for you. God says, it's okay. You don't need to stand up for me. I already know who I am. Don't worry about it. I don't have an identity crisis. The Lord said, I want you to go back with him on Sunday to church. I said, but God. I said, okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to write that pastor a letter, and I'm going to tell him all the scriptures and how wrong he is, and that I'm back, but it's not because I think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't include speaking in tongues and blah, 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 blah. The Lord said, no, you're not. You're going to go back, and you're not going to say one word. He goes, you're not going to say one word. I said, but God, that pastor could come over and say, we knew you'd be back. And the Lord said, fine, let him. Oh, man, it was humbling. I said, this is not what I brought my husband to this conference for, God. This is a family conference. This was to tell him, Lord, that he needs to support his wife. I didn't do anything wrong. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, God. And you do speak in tongues. You want me to be a liar and go back there? I have a feeling I wasn't operating in the right spirit. I think it was that speaking the truth in love part. I kind of missed the love part. So the Lord sent me back. And it was humbling. Because God won't let me say a word. I'm just telling you so you know, he doesn't do it the way you want. You know, what we think up, which would be a good way to work this stuff, he never, ever once has done anything like that yet. He always has a whole different plot. So I get in there, and this pastor comes up, and he says, exactly, I knew you'd be back. God's like, I didn't say a word. I was like, oh, Lord. And I sat there, and it was so cool because the Lord sat with me in such a powerful way. He said, now watch this man of God. If he would just get filled with my spirit. He says, look how everybody watches him. Look how charismatic he is. And God said, begin to pray for him. Begin to pray for him that I'll get a hold of his heart. So I didn't even listen to the sermon. I didn't know. He was talking against me every sermon. And some people, blah, 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 and some people. My husband was getting more and more upset. He didn't say a word to me. Somebody came up to my husband and said, I've been saved for 40 years or something. I never spoke in tongues. Your wife is just wrong. And John's thinking, and all John is hearing from me is, you know, that's a nice church, and they really do love God, and I'm being active and serving and just having grace all over the place. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm having grace, and I'm praying for the pastor, and I'm just watching this. I'm not arguing with anybody. It's just amazing. And so one Sunday, right before Christmas, we get in the car and we're leaving. We've been going there for about 2 months from when the Lord sent me back. I didn't gripe. I didn't nag. I said, did you hear what they said? No, I'm surprised I didn't. I'm telling you, it had to be grace and God changing me. And John just told me, he goes, we're not ever coming back here. I said, what? He goes, we're never coming back here. I said, why? I said, don't get out of God's will. Are you sure? He said, yeah. He says, Cindy, every week, he says something from that pulpit against you. Every week. He said, you never say anything bad about him. You don't even seem to notice. All I've seen you do is serve people and walk in love. He goes, there's something wrong here, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. Where do you want to go to church? My husband went with me to that big, radical, charismatic church right for Christmas. Is God too cool? Would it have happened had I held him to my pride? Would I have been able to break the... Would I be standing where I am today as a pastor and minister, had I not let God deal with that? I don't think so. It's going to be sad when we get to heaven and find out how much we missed because of our pride, because of wanting to do it our way. What is humbling? Not doing it your way. That's humbling. That's so humbling. God likes the humble. There's grace for the humble. There's grace for the humble. All you're missing is the grace you need to watch God work this. Now remember, your husband's not your spiritual head. Okay? So when he says, well, I don't want you going to that other church anymore, you can say, well, I'm going. I'll just take my chances with God that that's what he's leading me to do. But then when you come home, God's going to give you grace to be more loving. God's going to give you grace to see things. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's not asking us to put a husband in charge of our spiritual walk with God. But God is going to prove that when we are connected to his headship, we will become more like him and we'll win our husbands without a word. We'll win them without a word. Some of the most damage that I've done is my sons hearing me talk to friends during these years when I was in churches where they weren't teaching the truth. And I didn't understand that God shows me these things as a gift to the body. And I took it personally as how much superior I was than everybody else. And they heard me criticize. And they heard me talk about how could they say that, how dumb they are and all this stuff. And then I wonder why they're not that interested in being a part of church. And I just have to repent for all this stuff and watch God bring healing. You just got to repent for all this stuff and just watch God bring healing. And let me say this, though. Anyone who goes through, as a pastor, you have to decide, will you marry people who've been divorced? I think ministers really need to seek the Lord very strongly about who they marry, because it's a powerful thing. But at the same time, you're not to control. Lord told me if they're equally yoked, you know, and these things. But for that person not to be an adulteress, there has to come an understanding of this teaching, okay? There has to come an understanding of this teaching, because we've had people here that the Lord had me remarry that I really didn't want to. I didn't think they, but the Lord just showed me, you know, why, that they would totally go off to the world if we didn't. So we did what the Lord showed us. But the bottom line is there are people here who were divorced and they were Christians, even though one of the Christians may really harden their hearts, and it wasn't because of adultery. And the key to that, if anybody here is in that situation, you need to let this kind of teaching go in deep and really see where you missed it. Really see that the relationship you're in now, if you're remarried, has caused adultery if true repentance hasn't come. Now, let me tell people something. Don't hear a teaching like this and think you can fool God. So let's say you hear this teaching and then you say, you know what? I'm going to go through with a divorce, but then I'll repent. Because that's not true repentance. That's devising evil in your heart, which is something God hates. And you don't want to fall into deception, or you don't want to come before the Lord one day and find out, look, you never really repented of your adultery. And away from me, you work iniquity, I don't know you. So we need to quit wishy-washing this thing like we can pull something over on God like we've been able to do in natural relationships. Do you understand? Do you understand? True repentance means I absolutely hate this. I agree with you, God. And no matter how difficult, no matter what I have to walk through, I'm going to grow in this and trust you in this and be made whole in this for your glory and for your purposes. And then get ready for the ride. Does anybody get, let me make life easy for you, okay? Because it's really complicated. Here's life. You're born. Do you find God or not? Are you looking for him? Are you seeking after him? Does your heart cry out for God? Then if you're here all day on a Saturday, the answer is probably yes. Yes, I found God. Yay! This is what I was born for. I was born to find God. Now I have found God. Now that I have found God, why am I still here? Because now you're going to be made into His image and His likeness, that others will be drawn to God, and so that you can be prepared to marry Him and have the high calling of Christ. Okay, yay, that's what I'm going to do now. And everything else doesn't matter. Everything else is going to be the testing ground to see if you get to be like Christ and to see if you get the high calling. So if you keep running from situation to situation to situation to situation, you're not changing, you're not growing, you're not doing anything, and maybe you would still be saved, but let's just say everyone isn't the bride of Christ. Let's just say that there's enough scriptures to say that there's some people who are going to be serving at the wedding feast and other people who are going to be the ones getting married. Let's just say that there's the virgin parable and half those virgins are hanging out with people who are in the anointing, hanging out with people who are truly filled with God, really in His will. They don't know the difference, but when Christ calls the rapture of the church to come to the wedding, they're still here. That's not the time you want to find out you were self-deceived. You're scaring me. Good. We need the fear of the Lord. We need to rip everything off and get real. God, whatever I have to walk through, I'm going to cleave to You, and we're going to go through it, and You're going to change me in it. Every trial in your life is to be counted joy because it's actually working to make you Christ-like and to bring you the rewards that God has for you. So quit jumping from one to one to one to one and not going anywhere and thinking that you're a growing, mature Christian. Maybe you'll get by with it here and end up in heaven one day, but find out that you're one of the least in the kingdom. That had you worked it through and let God do His work in you, you would have been the bride. Or you would have had the crowns to give to Him. However you want to pretend it works. I look at it this way. It doesn't matter to me how it works. I'm not trying to outdo somebody else. Jesus is big. He can have a very big bride. But I know this. The bride has clean hands, pure heart, and she has made herself ready. So I'm going to be part of it because I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. I'm even going to ask Him to. And when He gives me His word and His word says, do this, get grace for this, then I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to allow anything to cause me to get off of that path that He's laid before me because of His grace. And let God deal with you. That's just the bottom line. You need to see this as an opportunity to mature in Christ. And if you're really in danger physically when you're in the house, then separate until you know that you're strong enough to go back into the situation. And then if He chooses to marry somebody else and divorce you, then it's on Him. That's between Him and God. There's only about four more scriptures completely in here at all on this whole marriage thing. And then think about it. You've done really the whole entire Bible that I can think of on most of the stuff on marriage.